Okay, clear a space. Clear a space, everybody, because we're about to do a bit of dancing in the company of Dr. Dance.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Peter Lovett, Dr. Dance. There's
I was just starting to groove there. I was getting into that groovy, funky bit of a Sir Duke.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, tell people about your background first. I was telling them at the top of the show. So you have a unique CV in that, you know, professional dancer and psychologist. So
yeah.
Talk us through it.
That's it. I was a professional dancer first. I was rubbish at school. And dancing helped me overcome a reading difficulty in my early 20s. And then I discovered psychology. I discovered reading and psychology. I did degrees in psychology and then neural computation, so the mathematical modeling of brain functions. I then did my PhD. And then when I was at Cambridge University, I decided to set up a dance psychology lab to use all of my science to look at dancing.
Yes.
And then when I did that, I started off by looking at people with Parkinson's disease. And what we found is that when people with Parkinson's, now this is a neurodegenerative disorder, when people with Parkinson's dance, it leads to an improvement in their medical symptoms, which is really rather extraordinary. So that's where the research into dance really started.
Okay, we'll come back to Parkinson's in a moment, but what's the evolutionary value of dancing? Peter.
Oh, dancing is fantastic. There is no society anywhere in the world where the people don't dance naturally.
Right.
Little tiny babies groove. Now, we know that when people dance together, it bonds societies together. It bonds people together. Now, there's a brilliant study which found that when people move together in time, they afterwards, even complete strangers, report liking each other more. They trust each other more. They feel more psychologically similar, and they show more helpful behavior towards each other, even little tiny children and adults. So dancing bonds societies together. It's fantastic.
Have you seen this? Jerusalemma. Have you seen the dances all over the world, people doing this dance?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, it's amazing. Put in Jerusalemma into Google when you're finished with us.
Yeah,
It started somewhere in Angola or someplace in Africa.
Yeah.
And it came to our attention recently because our police force on Garda Síochána, they started doing it because the Swiss police force threw down the gauntlet and asked them to do it. They've done it in New York, they've done it in Canada. And groups all over the world have got together and danced together to this tune.
It's fantastic.
It's a sort of a funky line dance routine that people can learn very easily. And schools are doing it, and frontline workers are doing it, and it's just, and it's the perfect song as well. I'll play a bit for you. Here we go. So there's definitely a social element to it. We know that.
There really is.
What happens in the brain then when we're dancing?
Oh, all kinds of things happen in the brain. So, we know, for instance, that people's pain thresholds go up when they dance. So when you dance, it can release opioids in the brain. And that can do all kinds of amazing things. We know that it makes us happy, so we know we're triggering some the happy areas of the brain, but we know also these opioid receptors become more active, and that means that people's pain thresholds go up.
Nice.
Now, of course, this is fantastic in all kinds of ways, not just for dancing at 3 a.m. in a pair of stilettos, which must be very painful, but also when you're carrying all kinds of pain in your body, then dancing can help relieve some of that pain.
Right. And it's obviously it's a physical exercise, so that's good. You're getting that part of it in. And then it cheers you up, you know. And so there's a dopamine release, but what else is going on?
Oh, well, the cheering up is fantastic. What we know is that there's when you look at people's moods and emotions after they dance, even if you just get them boogieing for a couple of minutes to a funky tune or any pop tune, and then afterwards their positive mood states go up. So there's an improvement in those happy moods and positive moods, but there's also a decrease in negative moods. So things like anxiety, frustration, fatigue, anger, those emotional states become lower. Now, what's brilliant about that is there's a relationship between people's moods and people's problem-solving abilities. And what some research has found, or what we found and other people have found, is that when you improve people's moods through dancing, then their problem-solving becomes more highly tuned. Now, this is great. Imagine all of the problems that you've got, the anxieties you've got, the ruminating about the future, worrying about, you know, whether something will happen.
Have you been talking to my wife?
Well, it's brilliant, because when you dance, if you dance with your wife, then some of those problem-solving things become clearer.
Yeah.
We find it easier to solve problems. We get more complex solutions to those problems.
Okay, and why we have you on this week is because we spotted an article in the Daily Mail. You have a book out called The Dance Cure, and you're offering people advice during lockdown because you feel that dance can reignite intimacy in relationships that maybe have got a bit of a knocking because of the pandemic.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things the pandemic has done is brought us together. So my wife and I, for instance, I used to be travelling all over the place and we didn't spend much time together in the house because I was always travelling. Mm. The lockdown happened and now we've spent virtually an entire year in the same building, which we've almost never done before. Now, of course, that can lead to all kinds of tensions. And while people are together, they then become distant from one another. They start orbiting, you know, moving in different orbits in the same place. And it can lead to frustrations, it can affect intimacy, it can affect all kinds of things. And what we've done, we're using dance to help people come together. So looking at people completely, so looking at the social element, looking at their thinking, looking at their emotions, and looking at them physically, we are able to use dance to help people come together. And we can either improve things like intimacy, frustration, love, a whole range of things we can help people with dancing.
So your advice to people listening today is dance. That's pretty straightforward. But do you start with a fast dance? We used to have this thing in Ireland. I don't know if you had them in England back in nightclubs and discos back in the day. We'd have a slow set.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had them. Yeah. So they'd be dancing away and next thing the DJ go, now it's time for a slow set.
Yeah, but you see, the DJ had built up to that all night.
Yes,
and so
yes,
had you.
Yes,
yeah. That's what we need to do now. So we need to help people find their groove.
Yes.
So you can find your groove all by yourself. That's absolutely
right.
Great.
So I'll put something on here. Here we go. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So find your groove to something. Like, okay, here we go. You're finding your groove now. Okay, here we go.
Now, this is brilliant.
Go on, talk us through it.
Okay, so now this song is fantastic because it's got a bit of syncopation in there. And the sensory motor coupling area of the brain is taking this music and it's creating movement throughout your body, or an urge to move to your body. And that's your groove. Once you've... Oh, did you hear that?
Yes.
Oh, now, so lovely. Because once you find your groove together, then you can start finding a groove with another person. Uh-huh. Now, you and I, Ray, we could both be dancing to this piece of music.
Yeah.
And we're almost, even though we're in different places, we can synchronize together while we're doing it. Now, imagine doing that, finding that groove. And then you can find the groove with another person.
Yes.
And start to move with them.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then let's imagine your relationship is characterized by frustration and a bit of anger and short-temperedness.
Yes.
Obviously, what you need to bring in is some fun and engagement and enjoyment. And sometimes we can use dance to help people find that joy. We can get people smiling again and making eye contact with each other, as you would in a nightclub or a disco.
And then before you know it...
Now there we are. That's the one. That's the one. And then, of course, when you get to that stage, you can start feeling each other's grooves.
Yes.
And you can get into each other and move together. And then that's when the magic happens.
Okay. Now, for people who are listening and going, I can't dance, I've two left feet, never able to dance, just can't do it. It's embarrassing.
No, there's no such thing as you can't dance. Everybody, humans are born to dance. It's like saying you can't be a human. You are a human. If you're a human, you can dance. Everybody, regardless of your perceived abilities, what sort of limbs you've got, you can dance. Everybody can. Once we take away the judgment and the self-consciousness, then we get that natural groove coming through us. And it's as natural as breathing. I mean, literally, humans are born to dance.
Dance, okay. So what do you suggest? You have a sort of a step-by-step approach for people who think they can't dance.
Yes, I do. Well, the first thing we have to do is strip away those anxieties. So we need to find out why you think you can't dance. Now, some people have been told that they can't dance. Sometimes people have been laughed at for their dancing. Some people have gone to a ballet class and been told they're too fat to dance.
Nice.
And there's a whole set of reasons why people have been told they can't dance. What we need to do is to work out that we do something called a dancer's lifeline, the Dr. Dance lifeline. We look at people and we work out the positive and the negative experiences people have had with dancing. We find out what their reason is for not dancing, and then we start to address those concerns.
Aha.
Yeah.
And then, is there any little exercise that people can do at home?
Yes. What I would do, if anyone's anxious about dancing, I would get them laying on the bed Okay. And with their eyes closed, they can close the curtains, they can be completely by themselves, and to play a piece of music, any piece of music that they like. And I want them then to connect with that piece of music. And what that means is just find the rhythm in that piece of music. Relax all of your bodies. Go through some kind of progressive muscle relaxation across your body. And then feel the consequence of that music in your body. So feel a part of you twitch. It might be in your thigh, it might be in your tummy or your shoulder. Just feel those muscles moving naturally in a really relaxed way to that rhythm that's inside your head. And then slowly build that up and make it larger and larger and larger. Feel that if you can hear the different rhythms in the music, find the rhythm in your body in different patterns, and then slowly start getting yourself up.
And then you'll be...
Exactly. And now you see, taking that rhythm. I'd be off the bed and I'd be grooving around the bedroom to that piece of music.
Dr. Peter Lovett, author of The Dance Cure, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us and dance with us today.
Well, thanks for the groovy session this afternoon,
thanks,
Ray.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you. Bye. That's it from us. Cormac is on the way on his own, and we are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.